Previously on the Adventure Zone.
Gundren is suddenly completely engulfed in flame, and Killian says, "Time to go!" And she's pointing in the center of town at a well. The three of you dive into the well. As you look up through a small circle of light, you see is flame above you. Just a giant burst of flame. Phandalin's gone. The entire town where it used to be, you look around, and all that you can see is black glass, a circle of black glass on the ground.
Well, this all sucks.
She suddenly looks over and sees the gauntlet again. She says, if you've already escaped the thrall of that thing, you can collect it, and we can take it somewhere where it will never do anything like this ever again. You see a glass sphere, and a giant balloon pops out, basically a hot air balloon. One of those two moons in the night sky is getting much larger.
Guys, the moon's expanding.
And suddenly, you have gone into the moon. And Killian says, well, guys, hold on to your butts.
Okay, I roll up butt holding. Okay, 14 on holding my butt.
What will our heroes find on the moon? I hope it's not aliens, because I'm afraid of those. It's the Adventure Zone!
Four of you in your magic hot air balloon pod emerge into light. The light temporarily blinds the four of you just because, you know, you were just in a dark tunnel for quite some time. But you emerge and it's bright, and as your eyes sort of adjust, you get a good look at the room around you through the sort of glass exterior of this magic floating sphere.
Paint us a word picture, Griffin.
Here it goes.
Trying to.
Nope. Let me reach into my my chest of ink, and here comes the adjectives. I'm gonna unpack my adjectives for you.
Remember, show don't tell.
You are in a dome shaped room. Almost has sort of an Epcot ball feel to it. If you can imagine what the interior of the Epcot ball. Do they ever let people inside that thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, inside of it is
Spaceship Earth.
A world of energy, right?
Okay, well, imagine that.
Is that where Figment lives?
No, he lives in the world of imagination with Dreamcatcher.
Get your shit together, Clint.
Hey, guys, God. Guess what? This is the world of imagination. You're in.
Aha! Oh. So, suck it.
One of the Gerblins you
That's
killed.
A weird reaction to being in the world of imagination. But all right.
World of imagination, suck it.
One of the Gerblins that you actually killed in the last chapter was Figment. You didn't even.
Oh, no.
Maybe you should ask people's names before you just slaughter them. You're in the interior of this dome-like structure. The exterior of the dome is sort of made out of these glowing triangles of glass. It's a very ornate structure, and you get the impression that this is some sort of hangar for these balls that you just traveled in. And you see some people. You see people all sort of dressed in blue and white soldiers' garb. You see on one end of the room, there are some sort of holes in the floor that you think, you know, could be other tunnels. Mounted on top of those are these giant cannons. And you don't see any, like, you know, shells or cannonballs or anything like that, but you see these big cannons on one end of the room. And the you realize that you have emerged onto sort of a landing platform.
Does there appear to be like a gift shop or like some kind of like restaurants in the terminal?
No, you think
anything
maybe
like
it's maybe there's, you know, another dome with a gift shop in it.
So like dome that, B is where like Delta.
Maybe there's a dome beta, and that's where the Chili's to go is. If,
Chili's to go is the words I was about to say with my mouth, and you said them, and I hate you.
It's the only other restaurant other than Cinnabon that exists in every airport.
No, sometimes there's Max and Irma's.
That's true.
In an airport?
No, yeah. Okay.
I've never seen that.
Fantasy time. Okay, so fantasy time.
Fantasy time.
Fantasy Max and Irma's.
I need a
magical Max. Miracle Max and Irma's.
Maxith and Irma if. Ye old Max's and Irma's tavern.
Apothecary. Okay. Killian taps on the wall of the glass sphere, and the hole that you guys boarded in opens up, and she climbs out. And entreats the three of you to follow her. She walks down a flight of stairs off the landing platform that you guys have emerged onto. And as soon as you sort of cross the threshold of the sphere and place feet on solid earth, well, kind of solid earth, solid moon? I don't know. The three of you get kind of dizzy. You get kind of nauseous and disoriented. A little bit, almost like the as you look around and sort of take in your surroundings, the more you look around, the more you get a little lightheaded and foggy.
We did survive the explosion in Phandalin, right? Like, this isn't heaven, right?
Yeah, Roma Downey reaches over and says, surprise.
Surprise, I'm fake.
Griffin's like the creators of Lost. We immediately guessed this was purgatory, and now he's trying to cover it up by creating some other BS scenario about why it's not purgatory.
But spoiler alert, it's purgatory.
It is. Wait to the end, it is.
So Killian, you know, turns back and sees you sort of reeling as you descend the stairs and says, oh, by the way, things are going to be a little weird for a bit, but I promise that's going to pass.
Just stick with your buddy, drink some orange juice.
Yeah, take these, lie down, because you don't want to faint on these stairs. That'll be bad news bears. But I promise I'm going to get you guys taken care of very quickly. I just need to run out and get you all authorized really quick. It'll take just a few minutes, but please just like hang out here, sit down, take it easy, don't overexert yourselves, and you're going to be just fine. And she turns around and walks out of a door from this dome-shaped hangar.
So do you guys want to, like, pop a squat? Just, like, have a seat?
Yeah, let's just chill.
Yeah, so we just sit down on the stairs, you know?
Cool.
Just take a minute to, like, think about what has led us to this point in our lives.
Yeah, wow. That would be good. Like, any backstory at all would be...
I wrote out a 4-page-long backstory. You said it was too serious.
Yeah, dude, because it was, like, wicked mad serious.
And listen, I want to tell you, somebody leaked it because I've been getting all these tweets. And wow, did you see Magnus's backstory? How did that happen?
How did that get to the press, Travis?
I did not leak it.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Somebody hacked your internet.
It might be somebody in my entourage.
Your posse. Okay. There are two guards sort of watching the door that Killian just walked through. And one of them turns and looks at you kind of sympathetically. The other one is unmoved. Imagine what are they called? The Downton Abbey guards? No, wait. Downton Abbey's not what it's called. Those guards
at
the big...
That's not a real place.
That's not a real place, nor do they have guards.
You know where the queen lives.
Where the
at
queen
Downton
lives
Abbey.
In Downton Abbey. One of these two very stoic guards turns and looks at you sort of sympathetically, and it's kind of waffles for a bit, and then ultimately
he makes waffles.
He breaks his post and walks over to you guys, and reaches into his jacket and pulls out a flask and hands it. Just sort of holds it in your guys' direction. It's like here. Hold on, let me come up with a voice for this guy. Here, see, that's just my voice, but lower. Here. You guys should drink this. Trust me.
I'll take it.
Oh, okay.
I'll take it.
Yep.
Eager Beaver.
I hope this is Go-Gurt.
it's not. It's brandy, but it'll.
I tried it and it is Go-Gurt.
No, it's
roll for Go-Gurt.
It's a character choice I'm making. It's definitely Go-Gurt.
Okay, but this,
no, but
the
see, Taco
is
just tastes. Okay. Taco tastes Go-Gurt whenever he drinks libations.
Everything Taco drinks magically transmogrifies. That was the first spell Taco ever cast, and now it's a terrible curse.
And I can't get it.
Go-Gurtation.
Everything tastes like Go-Gurt, darling.
It's a Sisyphean curse. He thought it was going to be a 24/7 Go-Gurt party, but no, he's kind of like mad scurvy. Okay, so you...
No, I don't, because it's key lime Go-Gurt. So okay. That's fine.
Read
on
a
the
book,
scurvy
Griffin.
Front, I'm cool. Read a book.
Are you passing the flask around? Are you hoarding it all to yourself?
Don't Bogart that flask.
Let me roll to see if I'm full. Yes, I'm full. I pass it over to Magnus.
I take a swig. It's delicious.
It is delicious. That is delicious brandy. That's from my hometown of Brandy Buck.
I'm really glad you're not from Phandalin.
Why is that? Oh,
no
my
God.
I got an uncle in Phandalin. Were you just there?
Correction, darling. You had an uncle in Phandalin.
Oh.
He was probably away on business. He's probably fine.
Well, I didn't. I mean, he wasn't like my favorite uncle or anything, but...
Good news!
Okay.
Good news. Yeah. Just check with the executor of his will. Just saying.
No, the executor's dead, too.
As you guys swig this this brandy, you find that the dizziness is sort of passing a little bit. You don't know if, there is some sort of... It's neutralizing whatever was happening, or if you're just getting a little drunk. But it is
none for
out.
Me. None for me.
Are you no, sure? I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm a cleric. I need to set an example for my crew.
You're Merle, right? I heard a rumor that you had 1,999 party points.
Okay. All right. One little.
No,
drink.
Listen. I don't want to peer pressure you. If you don't want it, that's fine.
Drink.
It. Most of those party points deal with piñatas.
Okay. You drink it, and it just makes you like better than Magnus and Taco. Like you are more sociable and more personable.
Oh,
because of
okay.
Because of all the party points. He takes the flask back and says, I know things are going to be pretty confusing for a little while. I know that you got the staticky stuff going on. I know that you're kind of dizzy. And listen, every single person that you're going to meet up here, went through the same thing. So don't worry. Trust me, it's going to get a lot better really soon. And we're all really, really excited to have you.
Do you guys know this guy?
Taco, use your ways.
Oh,
get some information.
Sorry, my name is Avi.
Well, there you have it. he wasn't going to say that, and I made him say that.
Avi?
Avi, A-V-I. It's actually a very, very common name in Brandy Buck. I think Brandy Buck might be a Lord of the Rings thing, but here we are.
No going back now.
Certainly not to Phandalin.
He says, after everything's over, why don't you guys can come find me if you want to hang out or whatever. I like to
we'll bro out.
Yeah, we can just lift some weights or something. Whatever you guys like to do, it's all up to you. I like to lift some weights, so that's why.
That
I
sounds totally great. We need a minute just to process everything that's going on, though. So like.
Just then, as soon as you say, good. We need a minute to process everything, Killian comes back into the room and said, okay, you guys are clear. Just follow me, and we can get this show on the road.
Hold on.
Bye, Evie.
Okay, I follow her.
It's nice to meet you guys. You seem like real sweet dudes.
Right on.
You walk out of the hangar and see that indeed you are surrounded by... more of these sort of dome-shaped buildings, these Epcot Ball-esque buildings, and they are of varying sizes. You're standing on almost like a grassy field. It's actually very lush, very well kept, better than you assumed some sort of secret moon base was capable of producing. And as you
this
look,
goes against everything I've ever thought about secret moon bases.
And as
that astroturf,
no, it's real grass. It's real. It's nice stuff. It's the best grass. It's the best grass. That's it. That's all there is to it. This is
well,
this
that
is,
explains that explains Avi's demeanor in there.
I reached. It's not. You're not walking on.
We
gaunch.
Walk into a field of weed.
No, it's just really good grass, and I'm gonna put my word paintbrush away now that I've reached the pinnacle.
Yeah, I think it's starting to dry out a bit.
and as you look above you, you actually see the night sky. This is not some sort of covered installation. You can see the night sky. There's only one moon above you, presumably because you are on top of the other one, which mm-hmm. doesn't exactly make sense quite yet. It's not like a curve.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, yeah.
As near as we can tell, is this moon, is the place we're in like a facade, or is it where we would have thought the other moon would have been?
Why don't you make you guys can make investigation checks if you want to try and figure it out.
I got a 9. Is the investigation a skill? Yeah, I got a 9.
14.
Taco.
19.
Yeah, just sort of judging by the area of this sort of base, which is not like huge, right? It's almost like about a football field in diameter. It's you know, it's not the area of a moon. So yeah, you get the impression that whatever you just went through was some sort of facade, almost like this is some sort of like. I don't know, whatever you're standing on is behind a very elaborate prop, a very elaborate sort of set piece.
Okay.
You don't see the second moon in the sky anywhere, though, so that's about all that you can suss out with your investigation. Killian is leading you across this this quad, if you will, to a dome. That is a little bit smaller, a little bit shallower than the other ones that you're surrounded by. But it does have this sort of large spear sticking out of the top of it. Almost like the imagine like the Washington Monument coming out of the top of it. Only this spear seems to be made of a completely translucent crystal, or perhaps also glass. A lot of glass up here. You get the impression that these people are into glass, and they're into...
And grass.
Glass, grass, and ass. Nobody rides
everybody
on this.
Everybody has a great, amazing ass.
Nobody rides for free.
Everybody's ass is amazing. But
top notch.
Top notch.
Do I feel like my ass is better since I've been
No,
here?
You actually feel worse about sort of your ass. Like, you don't feel great about it. To standard. Your standard state is, your baseline is not like super proud of your own butt.
Listen, if I don't tell you there's Go-Gurt in your flask, you don't tell me how I feel about my hind end, okay?
All right.
Let's just have some boundaries.
That's a fine agreement. Killian is leading you into this dome with the spear sticking out of the top of it. She takes you inside, and there's just sort of one thing in this room, and it's a very... large sort of column in the center of the room with doors on it, and she...
Is it Zordon?
It is not Zordon, no. She rolls up her sleeve and takes out that bracer with the rune on it that I described to you guys in the last installment that she used to summon the glass sphere, and the door seems to react to it and opens up into what looks like an elevator car. And Killian says, "I can't actually go with you guys down there. It's sort of high security, but yeah, this is where you need to go next."
We do that.
Attention, fan artists! Killian's bracer might be a wonderful suggestion.
There's actually been a lot of Killian fan art. She has become a beloved character, much more so, I would actually say, than the three of you. And I get it.
We're going to have to do a spinoff.
Yeah. The Killian mysteries.
Killing it.
Killing it with Killian. You three step onto the elevator, and you actually hear the doors to this dome open up once more, and you hear a guy go, "Oh, can you hold the elevator, please? Can you hold the elevator?
Your doorman.
Can you hold the elevator, please?"
I start jamming on the button for the door close real quick. Like, oh, come on, come on.
Okay, the door's...
Now, we hold the door.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
This half-elf man who is dressed in sort of silly, colorful clothing. He's wearing... he's not really wearing the standard issue uniform that you've seen from the people walking around this campus. He is wearing some... a bard's garb. If you will, feathered cap and everything, pantaloons, billowing pantaloons. he has a violin sort of strapped to his back, a fiddle actually strapped to his back, and he's carrying a few rolls of parchment onto the elevator with you. And he says,
"Okay, can you press the button now?
I guess
we're going to the ground floor.
No problem. Do you work here?"
"Yeah. What gave it away? Is it the fact that I'm, like, here?" No, man, I'm, no, I just, I got lost, and I ended up on a moon base. No, I'm just kidding.
It
was funny.
Yeah. It's solid.
No, because we're here and we don't work here, so we just thought. I don't know.
Oh, are you recruiting? Guys? You guys initiates or whatever? That's cool.
Yeah. Sure. I hit the button.
Yeah. Okay. Initiates.
Bing bong.
The elevator doors close and you start to descend. This bard looks very sullen. He looks very he looks really bummed out. If his voice didn't give it away, this is not what you would typically call a happy person.
I tickle him.
Okay. Stop, stop, stop.
Can we have him sound like Michael Bolton?
This is what he sounds. That's what Michael Bolton sounds like when he talks.
That's what I thought.
You don't hear it because he's always singing. If Michael,
I tickle him again.
Stop it, seriously.
He pees a little bit.
No, I don't.
May I ask your name? Garb Bard, Barded Garbard?
Nailed it.
It's Victor Garber.
My name is Johan.
Ah.
Okay.
What's
wrong, dude?
What seems to be bothering you?
Everything, I guess. If you think about it, just sort of like where I ended up, like my life choices and...
You're on a moon. That's pretty great.
Yeah, you're a bard.
I guess that's true. I mean, I don't get a lot of customers. Yeah, the problem is, fellas, if I'm going to be frank with you... Yeah, good one, assholes.
Mine wasn't a joke. I'm an idiot.
Go ahead, bud. Tell us what's on your mind. What's bothering you?
What's eating you, Johan?
I'm like the greatest violinist basically ever.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't see any point in being like humble about it. I don't want to lie to you guys. I'm basically like the best violinist ever. But nobody's ever going to know who I am. And that, I don't know. It just gets to me sometimes, you know?
I put my hand on his shoulder and say, we know who you are,
Don't
Frank.
Fucking tickle me again, man. I'm not. I'm like an adult man, and you're an adult man.
Magnus, easy.
I tickle him.
Stop it.
He pulls out his violin. He's like,
would you guys actually mind if I played for you?
Threw it away?
Oh, no.
We Griffin, would I have to roll to see if I smash his violin?
Oh, don't. Please don't.
Will you do Devil Went Down to Georgia?
No.
I think he's really Charlie Daniels.
I'll do Asmodeus Went Down to Phandalin.
No, don't do that. No.
He starts to play a song on his violin that is, in fact, the most goddamn gorgeous piece of music the three of you have ever heard. Taco, even you, an imbecile, can recognize the beauty of the tune that this sad bard is playing for you. His claims are 100% accurate. He is the most incredible musician any of you have ever heard. You guys are moved to tears. You can make a check to see if you're moved to tears, but it's going to
is because it's one of my personality traits.
Is that he's
8?
He cries 8. Yeah, you're 6. Crying. Merle 6, crying even harder than Taco and Magnus.
Snot bubbles. I got snot bubbles.
You're crying harder. Travis, you're just Magnus. You're just wailing and gnashing. Just
keening. Just, is what you're looking for. I'm keening.
You're just slamming yourself against the side of this elevator. Just. And he stopped.
Can I roll to see if the irony of us hearing the most beautiful music ever in an elevator dawns on me?
No, it does. Man, I really didn't think about that when I wrote this.
Is it Girl from Ipanema?
He plays a song and goes like this. Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum.
He says, he stops bowing. He puts his violin back on his back.
Sorry, is it called bowing?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, and he says,
see, I told you guys. Oh, gosh.
Magnus picks himself up off the floor.
Yeah. You guys are like intimidated by this person now, maybe. It was amazing, you guys. I can't even try and like fake it out.
Sing it, Griffin.
I can't even do it cuz it was too beautiful. It was amazing. You think to yourselves like, I will never forget this moment when I heard this dope ass tune.
Is it better or worse than Call Me Maybe?
It equal.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, when you put it in those terms.
Suddenly you
Johan, why why aren't you using this gift out in the world? You should be like singing before or playing before kings.
It's in the contract, you guys. It's I wish there was something I could do about it. I'm not complaining. Like, it's hard out there to find a job as a bard.
In this economy,
not a lot. You don't get a lot of tips. You get a lot of staying in unclean lodging. There's a lot of syphilis. Just like a lot of syphilis. Like a
in
lot,
the contract?
Guys. There's like a lot of syphilis.
So who?
An unconscionable amount of syphilis.
This is a really slow elevator.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. It's a fantasy elevator, so they probably have it.
Suddenly, you hear from the fantasy elevator, bing bong, and the doors slide open. He says, "Well,
thank God."
He says, "First floor, menswear." Just kidding.
And he walks out.
I want to roll to see if I get it.
He walks out.
I do.
The door has opened up into a sort of short hallway with a very large, very secure door on the other end of it. And in this hallway, standing rank and file on either side, is like 14 guards. This is a very, very secure area. The bard Johan walks forward and, you know, makes it past them sort of without any issue. And he turns, he says, "Oh, these guys are new recruits. They're going to get inoculated, so don't worry about them." And all the guards sort of right their spears and allow you to pass.
Wait, before we take another step, I don't see any menswear.
You're like really dumb, yeah?
Crazy like a fox.
Maybe I'm dumb like a fox.
Okay.
He puts he rolls up his sleeve. He also has one of these bracers, and he taps it on the secure door, and one of the guards walks over and does the same with his own bracer. You notice all of them have this same bracer.
This is definitely going to be our first toy, right? Like when Mattel comes a-calling,
yeah.
Weird fantasy bracer that Killian wears is going to be.
You know how
Mattel's
always on the lookout for toys to make off of podcasts.
Yeah, Mattel's on the lookout for podcast toys.
You
toy microphone from WTF with Mark Maron.
The rune on the bracer, I'm going to try and describe it, but I have the shape. It's just going to be difficult to describe with words. Imagine sort of two triangles, isosceles triangles. That's when they all have the same angle, yeah?
Yeah.
That's equilateral.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
Okay. I just want to point out, Dad agreed with both of those sentences.
Yes.
And like the eagle, like, that's isosceles, right? Yes. I think it's equilateral. Yes.
So there are two triangles sort of stacked on top of each other. Point to point. Imagine like a play button, but two of those, almost forming like a angular B shape. Okay, do you have that in mind?
Okay.
Can you comprehend those shapes? And then another set of those, but backwards and pointing inward. So four triangles, all sort of pointing inward towards one another, creating a diamond-esque shape. That is the shape of this rune on everybody's bracer. But as you look around, you actually notice that there are some banners hanging on the walls of this hallway. You've actually seen it out on the campus that has the same shape on it. So maybe this is some sort of company logo or insignia.
Now, Griffin, just to clarify, at this point, we met a dude who wanted to lift weights with us. We walked across a quad, and we've been traveling through a campus.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we out of college?
No. Well, maybe.
Okay.
The secure door opens after the second security guard walks over and taps his bracer to it. And the room that opens up is very large and very dark, save for a tank in the middle. The tank is sort of lit from underneath, showing sort of a dark, opaque liquid floating inside of it, and something is in there. You can sort of make out the shadow of something from this underlighting, but you can't really get your eyes to focus on whatever this thing is. You hear some sort of whale sounds, if you will, which puts the three of you in the mood for reasons that you don't really understand. Yeah, you can make out sort of a... Oh, wait, hold on. God.
You can do it.
It's like somebody's watching Star Trek 4 in the next room.
Imagine that chamber from Star Trek 4. Yeah, a whale chamber. But it's not a whale in there. You can't... Again, when you're trying to, like, focus your eyes on this thing to see it, to, like, really ascertain its silhouette or its shape, mm-hmm. you can't... Your eyes just don't seem capable of doing it. And
is the sensation similar to the audio sensation that we get when we hear, like, Killian talk about her organization, just, like, an inability to hear?
You get that sensation a little bit. And also this dizziness and disorientation that you felt since you stepped foot onto the base is overwhelming here. The three of you are almost reeling.
I think we need the flask again.
you don't have it. Avi kept that for himself. The bard walks over and to the base of this tank. There's a very large, heavy base to this tank, which, you know, stretches up all the way to the ceiling. And in this base, he opens up a flap. He opens up a panel in the base and puts his rolls of parchment inside and closes the flap and pulls a lever right next to it. And he says, "There goes another great composition." And you see the parchment float up into the tank. You see some sort of tendril reach out, wrap itself around it, and pull it towards the mass. And then all of a sudden, this beautiful music that the three of you just heard, you can't seem to make it out. You can't seem to... You knew that this was the most beautiful song you've ever heard. You would never forget it, but you can't seem to remember the melody. You can't seem to remember that moment at all. You remember that this guy played music for you, but when you try to remember the music itself, that memory just isn't there anymore. Which is very sad.
I treasured that memory, and now it's gone.
And the bard said, "Okay, feeding time's over. You guys ready for stuff to get weird?"
Start.
He walks the three of you over to a spigot on the side of this tank and takes out three files and opens up the spigot, and this black inky liquid pours into each one, and he hands you these three files and says, "This isn't going to taste great. It sort of—I
bet it tastes like Go-Gurt.
It sort of has the consistency of Go-Gurt. so not a lot of people get down on that. But I'll warn you guys: once you drink that, there really isn't any going back.
Going back from what?
Going to what?
From not drinking it."
Okay, so once we drink it, we can't undrink it, is what you're saying, Johan. Basic, very helpful.
It's basically...
Johan's very pragmatic.
Well, I just cut through the bullshit, you know?
That's Johan.
That's Johan, straight shooter.
Can I do a...
flavor check?
Why don't we ask him some questions? If we got to make this big decision, we don't even know what's going on.
We're not going to be able to know what's going on because we can't...
I drank the vial.
I mean, we could try to ask, but
God.
You know what I'm saying? It's that same... I bet if he tried to... Okay, first off, let me say two things out of character.
Okay.
To you guys. First off, Johan didn't lead us here, right? We told him we were initiates, right?
Yeah.
Like, are we running a scam here? Like, if we start asking a bunch of questions, is he going to think that we aren't initiates?
Well,
like,
Killian brought us here.
Killian brought us here, but she didn't get us past the guards. I don't know if we're like...
She did take you to the elevator, and this elevator's only got one stop. I should mention that. There was only one button. This is legit.
I think this is a case of our DM has set up a situation where we're supposed to drink this thing.
No.
Club.
You do whatever you want.
I want to know more about it.
Magnus drinks the vial.
Okay.
Of course he does. Matt,
okay. Why don't you ask him a few questions, Dan?
If Magnus just drank the vial, then we need to resolve some stuff real quick.
Oh, great.
I'm all about action. Thought it's for dorks.
I almost feel like I should kick Dad and Justin off the call while I reveal this information to you.
Yes, do that. This will be fun.
Okay. Do you guys just want to take your headphones off for a second?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take your headphones off.
Okay. Can you hear us, Justin? No. Okay, that was a test. Travis, your mind reels. You immediately remember the music, and you are moved, and you are grateful. But with each passing second, you remember more and more. You remember Killian telling you in the mine, asking if you're there for the Phoenix Fire Gauntlet. You remember the Black Spider asking you if you were members of the Bureau of Balance. You remember beyond that. You remember months and months and years beyond that. You remember a war that destroyed entire towns. You remember bloodshed. You remember vaguely. You remember just this carnage and conflict that seems too enormous for you to have possibly forgotten. You lost loved ones in this war. You lost a lot of people you know. It was a time of great turmoil, and you remember it. You don't remember the particulars, but you remember it. And you look up and you see in the tank, clear as day,
Zordon.
It's almost like Zordon, but not at all. This giant, almost like jellyfish, with just enormous, like it is the size of a whale, but you know, jellyfish shaped, with thousands of tendrils reaching off its body, and inside of its body, you can almost make out like a galaxy, like a swirling nebula of stars and constellations.
Am I right to assume that this is beautiful?
It is beautiful. Yeah, it's fucking super weird. You have never seen anything like this, and you get the distinct impression that very few people in existence have ever seen anything like this. But the dizziness, the nausea, the disorientation is all gone, and your head is right.
Is it erotic in any way?
Are you into tentacle stuff? I guess we haven't addressed that particular character.
Nah, that ain't Magnus's bag.
Nah, you into more more vanilla sexual experience. So that's what you have received, and let's get the boys back on.
Hey.
Okay, we're back.
My God,
Travis,
guys.
Magnus stands before you. His file is empty. As he drank it, you saw him sort of stand almost paralyzed for like a half minute, with his eyes wide open. But now he is standing before you, and he is standing upright. He's not sort of struggling to get his footing like the two of you are. He doesn't seem to be dizzy. He seems fine.
Guys, it's all clear. I remember everything.
Perception check. I want to see if he wet his pants.
Okay.
Listen. Maybe I did.
A little.
That's between me and my God.
It may or may not be flat vial related.
Well, I have an idea. I want to cast the spell of augury.
Do you have that? You just keep saying you have spells, and I never fact check you. But
do you want me to just tell you what happens?
No. It's really simple. If I cast augury, all you have to do is tell me. You look at the next 30 minutes, and you tell us whether it's going to be good results or bad results.
Really?
Okay.
That's it.
Seems like a super powerful spell.
Okay, go for it.
So I cast augury, so you tell us if within the next... You actually have four choices. Wheel, which means good results. Woe, which is bad results.
This is going to be... You are in a wheel and woe situation.
All right.
It's gonna get super fucking wheel up in here.
In the next 30 minutes, it's gonna be good and bad.
Yep.
Here's the thing, you guys. So basically what's going on is... And in the cave, when we were looking for the... She was explaining that... So basically what's going on is...
Well, this is just annoying now. I drink the vial.
All right. Does he stand there stupefied for a minute?
Well, you should drink.
All right. I look around. I don't see the lady carrying the log or Bob. I drink the damn vial.
You pound it. The two of you pound it. And then you get the same exact description that I just gave Travis, which I will...
Oh, I peed my pants.
Which I will explain during this commercial break so I don't have to do it. Everybody, this is Griffin McElroy, your Dungeon Master. Thank you very much for tuning into Episode 7 of The Adventure Zone, which is part of an interlude chapter that we have not come up with a clever subtitle for yet. Really, how can you beat Here There Be Gerblins? I don't know. In retrospect, that subtitle actually ended up being a little bit inaccurate, because I feel like Gerblins maybe took a back seat to flaming dwarf men monsters in the later parts of that chapter. But yeah, this is sort of an interlude chapter that is setting up the rest of the campaign that I've been writing. I apologize for it being so, I guess, exposition heavy, but it's kind of a necessary evil. I want to thank everybody for tweeting about the show on Twitter. Tweeting on Twitter? Yeah, I guess that's where people typically do it. Using the hashtag TheZoneCast, you can also find us on Twitter at TheZoneCast or at our individual names. We really appreciate you guys getting the word out. A lot of people have been leaving reviews on iTunes, which I can't tell you how much that helps us out, getting like a foothold on the iTunes charts. Which is really important for new shows like ours. If you tweet about the show using the hashtag TheZoneCast, there is a chance that you could end up as a character, much like Avi Warner, who is Avi Warner on Twitter, who you may have just heard as the guard that got our heroes drunk at the beginning of this episode, and Johan, who is Jay Forcell on Twitter, Johan, the sad, sad bard, who we just met just before the break. So I talked about this in an earlier episode, but I'm going to start taking item submissions from you, the listener, that I will stock an in-game shop with for Merle, Taco, and Magnus to purchase items from that can help them out on the adventure. I'm kind of still figuring out how I'm going to balance this because if anybody sends in an item that's like, it's a gun that kills dragons by pointing it at a dragon, that might sort of break the flow of the game. But if you have any like cool ideas for items that the heroes might buy, why don't you email those to us at adventurezonecast@gmail.com. Again, that is adventurezonecast@gmail.com. Just shoot me a short description of the item and the name of the item, and if you want, a price. I think each of them have like 600 at this point. Yeah, go ahead and shoot that to us, and maybe next time we record, I will send them to Fantasy Costco to peruse your items. Again, one last time, adventurezonecast@gmail.com.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose-your-own-adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Thank you all for listening. If you haven't, give the other shows on the Maximum Fun Network a listen. There's Jordan Jesse Go, Judge John Hodgman, Throwing Shade, The Goose Down, Lady to Lady, all kinds of really terrific shows. The four of us have our other shows that we do too, like My Brother, My Brother and Me, which is an advice show that Justin and Travis and I do. There's Sawbones, which Justin and his wife Sydney do about medical history, and Bunker Buddies, which Travis does with Andy Bolt about surviving various apocalypses. That's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode. Thank you all very, very much for listening. Next episode is the Thursday after next, and I will talk to you then. Okay, bye. Whew, that was note for note the same shit. I just crushed it. Great memory, Griffin.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm back. What now?
I'm going to lose my mind.
Dad had to step out to take a call.
I'm sorry. What'd you say? I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. I was about to cancel. Thank you all for listening. Oh, my God.
Did you put that in the show twice?
I don't know. It was literally the same thing. I think people might just get bored and turn it off. A lot of exposition in there. I don't want to make them double expose.
Oh, no, that was... Sometimes we have to have something inside baseball just for us.
Yeah. Okay. Listening audience, they literally just received the exact same shit I just told Travis. They didn't say anything funny, so before you email asking for the stuff on the cutting room floor,
there is a pretty good lost bit where Dad pretended he hadn't been here for the whole thing, and then Griffin got angry at him. So yeah. If Griffin left that out, it's because he's embarrassed of losing his composure.
But that'll be on the Blu-ray. Okay. We'll put that on the Blu-ray.
No, I'll leave that in there. That was pretty good. Okay, so back, we're all on equal knowledge footing.
Guys, I don't think that was Gokurt.
It was a new revelation flavored Gokurt.
Relevation is good.
Every time I eat Gokurt, it's a revelation. That's not a word. I said your dumb word.
Yeah.
With all those memories that came back.
Yes.
Is there any chance that the memory of shredded lettuce came back?
Remember shredded lettuce or chopped tomatoes?
Come on, give us a little something.
Pico.
We remember shredded lettuce.
Let me think. Taco, you hearken back to a time where you were working on your grandpa's farm. And you were, you're an elf, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were the tender age of 65 years old, and...
And I was on Tinder.
You were on Tinder, and you weren't paying attention to your farmly chores, and you were beating some milk that you got out of a fantasy cow. You were whipping it, trying to form some sort of cream, and your grandpa, Tostada, walks out and says, Taco, what are you doing? You've been whipping that cream so long in the hot sun, it done turned sour. That memory sticks out in your mind. It's very poignant. And you feel like perhaps the grand eldritch mystery has revealed a bit of itself to you once again.
Cream that is sour. What shall we call it?
I just say out loud after I drink the first words out of my mouth after I drink the file are, sour cream!
You remember a war... A great and terrible, great and terrible war where all of your friends, where a lot of your friends died, and the first words out of your mouth,
and everyone in the room goes silent for like a solid 5 minutes, just kind of shuffling their feet and think.
I rush to grab my book, which, as you'll all remember, is a copy of Uncle John's Elven Bathroom Reader that I've been writing the margins of, and I scribble down sour cream.
That's your spell. Your spell book is an Uncle John's Bathroom Reader.
Uncle John's Elven Bathroom Reader.
Well, how is it different from the human variation?
There's pictures of leaves around the edges.
Okay, it smells of sandalwood.
Thank you, Mighty DM, for sharing that information.
So, yes. Ditto, yeah. Griffin. In any of that, did we, like, learn anything about the umbrella that we picked up in the dungeon or anything like that?
Nope.
Huh. Okay.
You remember that the they referred to the gauntlet that was at the, you know, that caused all that bad, bad shit that happened. That was what they were referring to as the Phoenix Fire Gauntlet. Mm-hmm. The umbrella? No. Yeah, and you don't, like, I might have you guys do, like, an investigation check if you want to, like, try and deduce what the hell just happened to you.
Okay.
Actually, could I do an arcana check?
Yeah, sure, if you want.
Assuming that was magical.
Yeah. I mean, actually, it would be more of a, is there, like, a...
Well, I wouldn't know.
A nature check to try and discern what kind of animal this is?
I wouldn't know whether or not I should use Arcana or not. I do have a nature check, but...
I rolled 17, so just decide what it needs to be, and that's what I rolled
No,
for.
Sir. That's not how we play Dungeons
& Dragons. Well, I rolled the
dice. That's not how we play Dungeons. No.
Okay, so I think I have an 18 in Arcana, which is, like, magical type things. I would know, you like, the sort of how much I know about magical crap.
Whatever this effect was... alchemy is a school of magic, right? That involves sort of potions and unguents mm-hmm. and formulas and stuff like that. So in that, and it wasn't whatever this was, you get the impression that it wasn't magical. No magic
okay,
here.
Okay, well, I got a 17 investigation check is what I was rolling.
Okay. With that investigation check, you sort of discern that everything that has sort of come to your guys' minds are memories and not new information, if that makes sense. You didn't learn anything. You just sort of remembered.
So the world that we live in lived through a terrible war in which many people died, and then it was just erased from the consciousness of the people.
Well, from us.
Well, from us, at least, certainly. Griffin, I got a 21 in nature.
Okay. This thing looks like a jellyfish, but... I mean, jellyfish.
But it kisses like a man.
It's the size of a whale, and it's got like like stars and shit floating inside of it. So that's not typical for jellyfish behavior.
Okay. You heard when I said 21, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Johan. Okay, sure. Johan. Sort of looks. Eyes the three of you. Sees that you've finished sort of digesting this ichor, and says, "You guys."
You guys good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super great.
Bureau of Balance. Did you guys hear that? No,
yeah, we got that one.
Bureau of Balance.
Bureau of Balance.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Cool. Well,
do we remember him? Do we remember you, Johan?
No, you don't. I mean, no, you didn't forget him.
I mean, from 30 seconds ago, but other than that.
We've right. not met him before.
You never forgot him. Yeah, you just met him today. He says...
Cool. Well, welcome to the club, I guess. Thanks for taking the red pill, right?
what?
Never mind. So yeah,
we instantly remember the major.
Yeah. You remember the first one. You don't want to remember the second and third.
Griffin, does the jellyfish creature seem to be like responsive or acknowledging us in any way, or is it just there living its own life, like separate from the world?
Yeah, it's floating. It's moving. It's not like stationary or dead, but it's not like it doesn't have eyeballs to look at you. It's not holding up a sign saying like, "Haha, you guys just drank my shit." Like,
I wouldn't. Trav, I wouldn't grill Griffin too much on it because I got a 21 in nature, and what I learned from that is that it's a giant jellyfish, and jellyfish aren't usually giant and don't normally have stars in them. That's what my I'm thinking that this isn't this is more of a rough sketch right now.
Okay, well, I clearly recognize this is a special thing. Magnus bows before it just out of deference and respect.
Okay.
And ass kissing.
And Johan says, "What are you doing?
Bowing to your weird jellyfish god?
Are you bowing?" It's not a god. At least I don't think so. None of us really know.
You don't know shit, Johan.
We don't. You're not 100% wrong. So this thing is the, we call it the void fish. It's probably not its real name.
Did you guys like take a long time to come up with that one?
I actually spun that one just sort of straight off the dome. and it just kind of stuck.
Is it because it's been voiding into that water we just drank?
No, I mean, yeah, but that's not why it's called that. Yeah, we, I mean, It's the only one, like, ever, so those kinds of things typically don't get named, so we just sort of stuck with Voidfish, and it's pretty cool. If you feed it, it feeds on information, and then whatever information you give it, it just sort of removes from existence. It just sort of stops existing unless you've, you know, been inoculated and drank from the tank, is what we say down here in the gamekeeping department. So
that's why Johan's so bummed out, because he has to write these songs and then let the Voidfish consume them.
Yeah, my job, sort of my job here is to keep this thing, you know, fat and happy, because, man, if it dies, we're all fucked. I write these compositions.
Why?
Why?
Yes, aside from letting people drink its poop, what service is it providing?
Hold on. It might be its pee.
Okay. Aside from letting people drink its waste.
It's not all pee. There's like water and stuff in there too. It's not just floating around in its own way. Look at this beautiful goddamn jellyfish. You think this thing's just like a some sort of poop weirdo?
So, but what does it do?
It destroys information. It just sort of oblivious.
But what happened if it died? What would happen if it died?
Everyone would remember, and that would be
bad.
Guys, you're gonna learn a lot of stuff here in the next like 20 minutes or so. And if all of that, if everyone down there knew that, well, I mean, they used to, and that's what caused.
Okay, super cool, Johan. Who's in charge here?
That's the director. Now that you guys have been inoculated, she'll probably want to see you.
Could you take us to her?
I'm not like the valet here. I'm the gamekeeper. But
I sleep in $5.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, wow. Five whole dollars.
And there's more where that came from.
Can I just double check on Travis inventing paper currency? Like, that's...
Hey, put that in the little chute there.
They're actually Magnus bucks. It's a special
good at any Magnus location.
He points
not to be used in association with any other Magnus coupons.
He points you back towards the elevator and said,
"Ask one of the guards, and they'll get you there."
Okay, thanks.
Can I just say though, it was like nice to meet you guys.
Super great meeting you too, Johan.
And let me tell you, Johan, I think that of all the people we've met here, you are the
no, one of all. That's not how it works.
I was just messing with you.
Roll to see if Johan finds that funny.
It wasn't, but it wasn't like a good joke because like those typical.
I said roll.
Give me a break. I still got fish poop taste in my mouth.
He rolled it. Oh my god, that's D20 landed on an edge. We'll never know. He points you towards the door and says,
"That way, there you go."
I tickle him.
Oh God,
he doesn't let you. He actually slaps your hand out of the way with a very deft strike.
But we both like have kind of a winking, like, "That's good." Remember that when we did that before? Because we remember now.
It wasn't nice to meet you. I take that one back. You two are cool though.
I sleep him another fiver.
Thank you. What can I spend these on though?
Magnus merchandise, the Magnus experience.
What's that?
What's the Magnus experience?
Yeah, walk me through it step by step.
Well, basically, you go through this animatronic house that's set up, and you get to feel what it's like to have a day like in the life of Magnus.
Like Dolly Parton's at Dollywood.
Exactly.
Travel to the Appalachian home in which she learned her craft.
It's narrated by Hal Holbrook.
Is there a
when
room?
Magnus started out, he was just a young warrior.
Are you going to have to now build a room onto the Magnus experience that involves customers who paid to go through the Magnus experience drinking a vial of shit?
Correct. The Magnus experience is ever evolving. Every time you go back, you're never going to have the same trip twice.
You know, that's true. Deborah and the kids wanted to go back. I said, we just went there in June, and we went back. It was almost completely the same. But the gift shop was different. There were new items.
And coming this winter, we have a Harry Potter experience.
Oh, who do you want? Oh, yeah, him. Anyway, get lost, all right? I've got I got stuff to do.
Get lost.
Okay. He points you towards. He points you back towards the elevator. And as you make your way through, the doors open, and a very old human man, walks out, and he's wearing very just sort of a plain brown robe. He's got sort of a tonsure haircut, and he is also carrying a roll of parchment. And you hear Johann yell out,
"Come on in." Let's get this over with. This is my least favorite part.
And the sort of monk, old monk looking man walks by you with the parchment. If you guys want to try and make a perception check to see what's going on this parchment.
I already know who he is. I know who he is.
You do?
He walks by and he says, "The force will be with
you." No, that wasn't.
Always. Oh, okay.
I got an 18. Nope, okay. Sorry, a 17. I have minus one. 17.
I got an 18.
Okay.
22.
22. You can actually see this parchment. You see a familiar name on it. You see the name Magic Brian. And you see age 121, drow, male, 6'1". You see basically a stat sheet. With information on Magic Brian. Those basic stats are basically...
His likes, his dislikes.
Well, the monk sort of brushes past you a little bit too quickly for you to get into what really turned him on when he was among
Brian
the
Magic Brian likes long walks on the beach.
But this monk walks by with this this rap sheet on Magic Brian and walks through the heavily guarded door, which swings shut, leaving the three of you in the hallway to the elevator.
Are we the only ones in the hallway? Are there guards?
They're the guards. The 14 guards are still there.
Okay. We're going I'd say, "Hello, would any of you fancy gentlemen care to help us find the director?"
"I will."
"Oh, no."
No, there isn't anybody who sounds like that. one of the guards walks out and beckons towards you onto the elevator, puts his bracer to the door, and it opens up.
Sweet bracer, dude.
He says, "Thanks. You're going to get your own here in a bit. You guys inoculated?"
"Yeah. Yeah, we've been inoculated."
"Well, can I ask you a question?
We believe in vaccinations."
What did you guys think it tastes like? Cuz I think it tastes kind of like crab rangoon a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Mine
was
kind
of
like
a creamy consistency, but it definitely had that sort of like fresh seafood taste.
Yeah, I would say it was more of like a salmon roe kind of thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. I could get that, too.
With a soupçon of poop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's...
You know, we discussed it was a poop and pee thing. Maybe it's the jellyfish sperm.
There's any kind of... Oh. There's any number of fluids that you could have just imbibed. Anyway, see ya. And he puts his bracer through a panel and the elevator closes, sending you upward back onto the campus.
And I think it's a relevator.
Oh, you're the worst. You fuck up once. I talk for 4 hours when we do these things, and you fuck up one word, and all of a sudden, Griffin's the asshole. Okay. Thanks for the support, Dad, in front of our millions of fans, my dad.
I'll be here all week.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
We're Dave and Graham, and we host Stop Podcasting Yourself.
We started this podcast back in 2008.
Before, podcasts had to have any kind of concept, so we don't really know how to describe it.
It's kind of like going to the barber shop if your barber knew all about the first season of the show Elf.
It's like a 90-minute massage where the masseuse is two people talking to each other with a third person.
It's like the Monsters of Metal tour, only quieter, no music, and just talking.
It's like a makeout session, but without the lips touching, they just talk a lot.
Download Stop Podcasting Yourself from iTunes or MaximumFun.org.